stop looking at like two interesting. Go to look at spiritualism today, and it's nothing new. I'm not going to tell you virtually anything new, but when you see it all together, which you don't, because normally you just see one here, one there, but when you see it all together, you realise just how clever Lucifer is. Because the amount of spiritualism now, which doesn't seem to be noticeable, is very, very vast.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to, considering doing one about the occult. Now, there's still a lot of difference between spiritualism and the occult, except in the occult, they admit they're worshipping Lucifer.
Mm.
And they don't discuss it. And so I most would like to do that one next, if anybody would like to. Because it involves our own people. Because the occult is very much into the youth. And it is good for us as adults and them too to be able to recognise it. So I thought that with spiritualism today, and what's the difference then? With spiritualism, they think they're speaking to a spirit of the dead or some genie type of person. But as I said, with the occult, they don't disguise it. They go straight for the fact that they're worshipping Lucifer. So today I'm going to look very quickly at the spiritualism. And I'll tell you what that picture is a little later in the topic. But we have to be able to recognise spiritualism, we have to go back to the origins. And I know we all know this, but in there is the way that we will recognise it. So if we read, look at this, it says, "But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the first thing is that he's telling us that we don't die. Now the thing is that what he's actually saying to Eve is, if you sin, you won't die. It doesn't say you won't die, but if you sin, you still will not die. And this is the same message that's given throughout the spiritualistic community. They say that it doesn't matter who we are, what we are, what we do, we continue to live after death. And in most of the spiritualistic meetings, because of this, they believe that when you die, there is something within you, which they call the soul, that separates and it takes on the shape. This is the amazing thing, that this soul, which is an ethereal thing inside you, supposedly, anybody who wants to study on the soul, I'm quite happy to do that with them, because it does not exist in the way that it's said here. The word soul actually means living thing. So a cow is a soul, if you read the book of Genesis. And but it takes on the shape of the person, because in any of the spiritualistic meetings, the person has a shape, and often a recognisable shape. And they also, in most of them, you go to a special place, the land of the dead. And modern religions are very susceptible to this because they have adopted this idea of immortal soul and the fact that people go straight to heaven. And then it says your eyes will be opened. Now Satan's not talking about the physical eyes here, he's talking about spiritual eyes. So their knowledge would be suddenly enlarged. God's stopping you knowing everything. So if you eat, then your eyes will be open, you'll get greater knowledge, and you'll be able to judge things in a better manner, because you can see things clearly. And you'll know exactly what you should be doing. And then the last one is you will be like God. Now if you remember what Satan's great desire was, that he wanted to be like God. So here he's offering the same thing to Eve. He said to, remember what he said in Isaiah, I will make myself like the Most High. He wants to be God. And God wants us to become like him, funny enough, so that's not something new. And but he wants it in a different way to what Satan wanted. He wants us to have his holiness, his love, his mercy, and his righteousness. And Satan didn't want that. He wants to be equal with God on the same foundation. But we actually are like God. He's made us in his image. But of course the image is not our physical form or the fact that we can create or do anything that God can do. but we have his nature within us. So if you, by seeking to be like God, in this very moment, man became a slave. And by seeking independence, he became completely not master of himself. And the last one that we need to know is knowing good and evil. So Adam and Eve would now be able to decide what's right and what's wrong. So these are the things that we are going to be able to judge spiritualism when we look at it, wherever it is, because we can't foretell what's coming in the future. Now, Adam White is very, very good at being able to predict what's going to happen. I really am, having studied this so much, this lady, I find her able to decide on what's going to happen. But these are the things that we need to decide what is going to be judgment. Do they obey God's commandments? Do they teach that man has a part which is immortal? Do they make man equal with God? And do they make sin of no consequences? That's the judgment of whether it's spiritualistic or not. So, spiritualism. Now, when did it begin? This is the Fox family home. And modern spiritualism began in 1848. Now that date sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? A few years out. But did you notice how Satan brings in the counterfeits at the right time, as far as he's concerned? And we come into existence just after 1844. In fact, a few years after 1844, spiritualism begins at the Fox home. And he was a farmer, and he had six children. And only the two youngest were living at home. And these are the two youngest girls, the Fox sisters. The young children's name was Margaret, and she was 15 years of age, and Kate, who was age 12. And the house that they occupied was being disturbed by noises, especially at night. At first, they thought that it was mice or rats running around. And then they had a loose board. And they then discovered, because of the noises that they were making, that these noises were intelligent rappings.
And this,
rats. Intelligent rats, yes. And after going to bed at night on March the 31st, 1848, the parents and the children were sleeping in the same room, and the rappings began to start again. And this time they were much more violent than they normally were. And Mr. Fox got up thinking that it was the sashes on the windows that were loose, so he went to try and stop them from making the noise. But when he got there, he found that they were completely secure. So it could not have been those. And he was just about to go to bed when Kate saw that when he shook the sashes, the rappings replied. So she turned into the direction from which the sound seemed to be coming, these noises of rapping, and snapped her fingers. And at the same time, she said, "Here, old spilt foot, do as I do." And the rappings did exactly as she did. And the girls were very, very frightened. They didn't want to continue their conversation with this rapper. But the mother then took up the communication. She started to communicate with this spirit, supposedly. And she received, this is the very interesting part here, she received a message from this spirit, professing to come from a spirit of Charles B. Rosner. And he had been murdered some years earlier in the house. And the spirit, I'll have to use the word spirit, although we don't believe that it was, we know it's evil angels. The spirit gave the location in the cellar of the house where they would find the body buried. And when they dug, where this spirit told them to dig, they found a human skeleton. And this was then later proved to be the man answering the description of one who had actually visited the house and not been seen since. So it was the man who had been murdered. And Margaret Fox soon developed these occult powers in when she continued contact with the spirits. And the spirits would be asked questions, and the answers in the main, but not always, were found to be correct. And many were convinced around the area where they lived that the girls were actually in communication with dead spirits. And from this time on, then this movement spread like wildfire. So the one good question we should ask ourselves is, how do the spirits know? Well, they know the history of your family, my family. They know how all the generations back, they're a lot older even than me. They go way back to Adam and Eve. So they know all the history, all the way through. They know all about your private events. Not very nice to know that people are watching you everywhere you go, but they are. And they know everything you're doing. And they also know your secret things. You may think that you're doing it with no one noticing, but they even know those. And they can even hear the little whispers that you have with other people, trying to keep it a secret. So they know quite a bit. And they also know all about your conversations that you've had with other people. So it's not surprising that these spirits are able to astonish people by knowing an awful lot about people. And the one thing about these spirits is they talk with a very pious attitude. And they often give good instructions. It's not all bad. And they often tell the truth when it proves to be to their advantage. But there's always the other side of the coin. And there's an expression, it says, although a good man will not lie, yet a bad man and a liar will sometimes tell the truth. And that's the evil spirits that are doing that. So, ultimately, the idea is to dupe people. So you tell them the truth to draw them in, and then you can start. Scripture says, as regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And then it says, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. A man, also a woman, that have a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. So this was the ancient penalty of anybody caught communicating with dead spirits. It also tells us what God's estimation and understanding of spiritualists is. And then it tells us about prophecy. It says, don't hearken to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, for they prophesy a lie into you. So spiritualism pretends to know the future. And this is a deception. So, when you interview someone for a job, you can often tell something about them and what their actions are going to be under certain circumstances just by talking to them. And this is what a lot of the mediums can do. Don't think that they know so much, but you actually give a lot of information away to people by the way you react and you talk. So they can, even without supernatural help, the mediums can actually begin to tell you something about yourself that you think nobody else does. And if spiritists did know the future, who would be the richest people on earth? They could do the stock market. They could do all the races and things, and they would be just millionaires, and yet they're not. The other thing about spiritualism is that when people go to a spiritualist and ask for directions, they're actually saying to Lucifer, give me a plan for my life. So when you go to have your palm read, which is the palmist says, you're going to have an accident tomorrow. Satan's just told you what he wants to do to you. He's making the plan for your life. And another piece of scripture says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that are familiar spirits, unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony. We've already seen the testimony we're going to use this today. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There is no light in them. Right, so let's have a look at some of the more modern forms of spiritualism. Out-of-body experiences. Again, this is beliefs on a living soul, an immortal soul, that separates from the body at death. And the idea is that the soul is sort of a phantom-like thing, and it travels to heaven, and not only that, it's able to view earthly events. If we go, what is this saying about Christ? If we go straight to heaven, then we don't need Jesus. So there's no need for a saviour. Now, when people are having a near-death experience and they actually travel, some actually don't get out of the room. They can actually, on the ceiling, looking down at themselves before they reunite, supposedly, with their body. But if they go to heaven, or what they class as heaven, they are generally greeted by someone, usually someone deeply loved, and that person is often called a being of light. Now, the famous people, there are many famous people who have had experiences like this. I've just chosen a few. Jane Seymour, we all know Jane Seymour. Peter Sellers, everybody must know Peter Sellers, he's had one. Elizabeth Taylor, she had her. Peter Sellers had his when he had a heart attack. Elizabeth Taylor had hers when she was having an operation. Ozzy Osbourne, one of the most nastiest evil people you can ever meet. And Elvis Presley. Of course Elvis has to come into it because Elvis is not dead, which is one of the sayings. And the amazing thing is that after Elvis Presley died, many people reported having Elvis sightings, and where the spirit of Elvis appears to them as an apparition. But the amazing thing is, as on there, is that when people are going to heaven, they're greeted by Elvis. There he is. So these people are being greeted by him, of all the people to greet him. Not Jesus, Elvis Presley. Now this is a statement from a 45-year-old Midwestern teacher, and she saw Elvis Presley in an intense light during her near-death experience. The woman knew Elvis because she met him as a child, and this is what she says. I entered into a dark tunnel, and suddenly I was in a place filled with love and a beautiful bright light. The place seemed holy. My father, who had died 2 years earlier, was there, as were my grandparents. Everybody was happy to see me, but my father told me it was not my time and I would be going back. Just as I turned to go, I caught sight of Elvis. He was standing in this place of intense bright light. He just came over to me, took my hand and said, "Hi, Bev, do you remember me?" So these experiences are in fact dream sequences. They're not actual physical things. And not all of the dreams, or not all these experiences, are as pleasant as the ones shown here. Many people who have near-death experiences, as they so call, are attacked by demons, and they end up in what they call hell. I mean, we know there's no such thing as place as hell, where they're being tormented. So this is the near-death experience, and there are... I have to keep everything short because there are so many of these examples. This is perhaps the most dangerous of all spiritual things, and that is the New Age movement. The New Age movement is a non-religious spiritual movement, and it developed in the Western countries during the 1970s. It's helped along by, of course, the pop groups of the time, especially the Beatles, But the main instigator of it is a woman called Alice Bailey. She was a spiritist medium, so it automatically tells you now what type of movement the New Age movement is. She's supposed to have received a message from a Tibetan master of wisdom called Dwal Khul. And she wrote down the messages that he gave her under dictation, and then she published them in a book. And the book is called The Plan for the New World Order. Doesn't that sound familiar? New World Order. And it is used by modern New Ages as their main directive. I was around when this began, so it shows you how old I am. The flower people. This is when mystic religions came in to England. Again, mostly due to people like the Beatles and other groups at the same time. And they combined these mystic religions from the East with occult practices. Then we got these self-help programs. You can cure all your own stress and problems. Then we have the holistic medicines, the same material curing the same illness, and astrology. Astrology was mixed in with it as well. It has a huge following, one of the biggest following now of all the spiritualistic movements. It has trusts, foundations, clubs, lodges, and religious groups. And the goal of the New Age is to get us to enter what they call the Age of Aquarius. Mm. Now, some of us who are a little bit older can remember some, the Age of Aquarius. And if you actually read the words of that, you'll see that it's a spiritualistic song. And people were singing it everywhere at one stage. So, who have we got for prominent New Ages? The main one is Shirley MacLaine. She actually promotes it like mad. But Oprah Winfrey, she's one. Samuel L. Jackson, Judy Davis, Adam West, and how about entering into the American White House? Well, Marianne Williamson spent time as a personal guest of Hillary Clinton, who isn't she the lady who's now trying to be president?
Yeah.
New Ageist. What about the organisations that are involved? Some of them you will recognise immediately, and these are New Age. And don't forget, remember when I spoke to you a little while back about the One World Government? This is what they're trying to do. This is one of the things of using it. Amnesty International? New Age. Zero population growth. That's interesting, isn't it? The aim is that you don't want the population to get any bigger, you want it diminished. So you've got to use methods to reduce the population. The New World Alliance, another big group that we know. Then you've got the Church Universal and Triumphant. That's idea is that they're going to bring in one religion. I always stutter on this one, Theosophical Society. That is a spiritualistic society, very prominent in religion at this present moment. And the forum is self-explanatory and Christian Science. All of these are part of that and the unity of school of Christianity. The idea of the New Age is to have a one world government and a one world religion. And these are organisations that are doing. Now you can see, very hard to pin them down, isn't it? They are so diverse. And what is their goals? The first one is they will have a World Food Authority. Then a World Water Authority, and you can understand that with the problems that we have with water in this world at the present moment. World Economic Order. Remember that I said last time, if I control the money, I control the country. And of course, a new world order. Now, to join these people at the top, not just the people down the bottom, but if you want to be in the top, you have to undertake what is known as the Luciferic initiation. And you pledge allegiance to the Christ of the New Age and New World Order. Now, the Christ is not Jesus. Jesus in the New Age is the evil one. And God is the one that got it all wrong. The person who is the saviour of the world, who is the good one, is Lucifer. That is not Jesus Christ. So what do they believe? And if you compare them with those lists I gave you of comparisons as to be able to judge spiritualism, is God is an impersonal energy force. There's no real God. God can be referred to as she or he, mother, father, God or goddess. Most agnostics hold that all nature can be worshipped as God. Now that, you may think, will never come into the Adventist Church. The Adventist Church had one of the biggest problems in its whole history when Dr. Kellogg brought in this idea that is on here. He was the one who brought this pantheism into the Adventist Church. Mm-hmm. If you read any writings of Ellen Wright around about that time, you can see she almost died with the stress of this happening in the church. So it can happen in our church. And you are reincarnated, and you will be reborn as a baby and live another life. Let's assume, of course, you don't make a big mess of it like you did the first attempt. But you are God, and you've got to look into yourself to discover your own divinity. And good and evil does not exist. So there's nothing to do with morality. There's no such thing as morality. They deny the existence of judgment, the end of time judgment, and we do agree with them on one thing, and that they also say there's no hell. But that's about all that we agree with. And they deny that sin and evil actually exists. They separate the historic person of Jesus from the Christ spirit. In other words, anything to do with God has no physical form. It's all spirit. And this is interesting. Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Jesus, and many others were Christs. There's no one Christ. But one greater than all of them will soon come in. This is the bit, isn't it? One will come soon to usher in the new age, the age of Aquarius. And of course that will be Lucifer. And then we have angels, which are called ascended masters, or master of wisdom. These are shadowy entities. They're not angels, of course, but demons. And born is the point at which a new age believer lets go and allows his higher self or inner guide to guide and direct him. What does that mean? Possession. Spirit possession. And they believe that the second coming, not Jesus, the second coming, that all of the new ages will achieve what they call Christ consciousness. And it's an exalted state where they are transferred into a divine being. Anybody good at astronomy? Aquarius. That's the star Aquarius. There he is with his water. See the water going down there? That's Aquarius. And we're looking at the age of Aquarius. The idea here is that the new ages, when we enter into this age of Aquarius, which is supposedly round about now, they will help the world to receive the new Christ. Now remember, the Christ we're talking about is not Jesus, it's Lucifer. And this will be accomplished by having a new world order, and peace will be brought back into the world. And this peace and this new world order will be accomplished through the leadership of the Christ that is to come. And he's got another name, Lord Maitreya, Lord Maitreya. And he will come and teach each one of us all about peace and how to get on with each other. And the main thing about New Age and why it's coming up so much now is that it involves the things that are beginning to take place now. The New Age say that the signs are that we have science, computers, technology, and all of this now forms the backbone of our society. We are governed by that technology now. They can use that technology. And if you look at the general public, you will find that a lot of things are now, at this time, getting more and more. I mean, if you go back a little while, alternative medicines was not really in vogue, but now it's much more so. And you go into health shops now, you don't just buy your vegetarian food, they have the stones, they have the trinkets that you put on, all to help you to become much more fitter and less UFOs. Have you ever noticed, one thing when, we had some UFOs when I lived in Essex at one stage, and the one thing we noticed about the UFOs, number one, they always took place where there was a spiritualistic church area, and the second ones, they always broke down. Now, if you were from outer space, you would not travel in one of their UFOs. They always broke down. And so anything that we class as weird is now acceptable. And all this, apparently, according to the New Ages, is the sign that the Age of Aquarius is coming in. And so we have lots of popular things now, like vegetarianism. That was going back a generation, vegetarian. And even more weird, of course, is veganism. So, but you go back, you didn't see these things happening. And they say that this is signs that the New Age is here and that this Christ, Lucifer, will soon be here. And they believe that all of this will become even much more, and we will start using even more mystical things to help us. This age of Aquarius will be an age of splendor and of light, because it is the home of the Holy Breath. The Holy Breath. What is that? And the Holy Breath will testify anew for Christ. Remember that that Christ is Lucifer. The Logos of Eternal Love. At first of every age, this Logos is made manifest in flesh so man can see and know and comprehend a love that is not narrow or circumscribed. So, this is a statement from the New Ages, not one I've made up. This is a statement from one of their books. And in another one of their statements, it says, 12 times in every revolution of the sun, this Christed love of God is made full manifest in flesh upon the plains of earth. And you may read it in Akasha, the wondrous lessons that these Christs now, have taught to man. And the philosophy called Theosophy popularized the word Akasha as an adjective. They use this term, Akasha Records, Akasha Library, and what it is supposed to be, it's a bit hard to get your mind around it, and even harder to explain it. It's almost like the whole of our Earth's being, atmosphere, is a computer storage system. So everything that this supposed Christ has ever done is stored in that Ethernet that's surrounding our planet. A bit difficult to understand, but if you get what I mean. So if you can imagine that you are at a computer, if you want to know something, just go on the internet. Well, the internet is, as far as this relates is concerned, is in the ether, in the air around us. And pagans, modern pagans, believe that Akasha is the fifth element. It is the spiritual force that earth, air, fire and water descend from. So we have all the things that we have here from another element that has come down to us on earth. And in the spiritual world around us, then all past events are recorded. And that means that you can now, when you've got the inner eye, be able to look at this record and see how the Christ has led and directed your life and the life of the planet. These are again more statements. In the New Age, we break free of centuries of false doctrines, destructive indoctrinations, absurd ideas, and children's stories about God, education, medicine, and love. The corrupt foundation of false society crumbled. That this time of crisis is not the signal of the end of the world. What comes is not the end, but the beginning. The dream humanity has lived for centuries ends, and we awaken to a bright new day and a bright new way. So this is the age of Aquarius. They're going to usher in this blissful utopia on the earth, and there'll be no more problems in the world. But the new age will consist of a one world government, one world economy system, and one world religion. And that is its aim. And this will be a fusion of all the religions of the world. Now you can understand one of the statements of Ellen White, where she says that Protestants will reach across to the Catholic Church, and then they reach across towards spiritualism. All of them will come together in one great fusion. One of the main things about the New Age, I'm concentrating a little bit on this because it's one of the most dangerous ones, is channeling. This is a more up-to-date form of medium. You know, the ones where they used to hold hands and then the woman would throw her head back and utter some noises about someone speaking through her. But the channeling is a process where an individual claims to have been invaded by a spirit entity. And this spirit entity speaks through the channeler to the people around. This idea of channeling began in 1972 with the publication of Seth Speaks, the book was called, by Jane Roberts and Robert Butts. So channeling, if you ever hear of it, is just another form of spiritual mediumship. Any questions on that? I don't know whether I've gone too fast or too deep or not enough. So we'll pass on. Anybody in Scientology? In the news? Just lately? Scientology. Take a note of the cross that he has there. We'll speak about that in a few moments. There's the man. He was the founder, L. Ron Hubbard. He wrote science fiction books. In April 1938, he underwent a dental procedure and reacted badly to the drugs that were used on him during the procedure. And according to his account, this triggered a revelation of a near-death experience. And this supposedly inspired by this experience, Hubbard composed a manuscript, but he never actually published the manuscript itself, and he called it the One Command or Excalibur. And those two books that he, or that one book rather, both two names, was eventually changed into a book which is called Dianetics. The other person that was involved is this man. Now he looks evil, doesn't he look evil? Does everybody agree he looks evil?
Yeah.
Well, you should say he is evil. This man is, if you look on the cover of a Beatles record, and I can't remember the one that it is, you'll find him on there. He's on that cover. They know him, the Beatles. And his name's Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was a leader of the magical order of the Ordo Templi Orientis. He is a leader in the Church of Satan. He's a Satanist. In 1950, Hubbard published the Dianetics as a means of solving people's problems, together with this man here. He had a great influence on Hubbard. And in 1953, he organised the Church of Scientology. So So who belongs to this? Well, here's a nice long list of people that belong. Most of us know about Tom Cruise, do we not? He was in the news not too long ago when his wife was having a baby and he was complaining because there was some noise. John Travolta, Juliette Lewis, Jenna Elfman, Kirstie Alley, Kelly Preston, Elizabeth Moss, Isaac Hayes, etc., etc. All of those are joining onto that church. Now, if we look at the cross, no, I don't know what's happened to the picture of the cross, but we'll go back to that one. There we are. This is one of the principal symbols of Scientology. And you think, just looking at it, you think that's a Christian cross, no doubt. But it has four additions on it, if you look. It's got a diagonal, two crosses on there. And the rays have actually got a meaning. The 8 points of the cross represent the 8 dynamics in Scientology. Alright, so that tells you what you believe. So what are the 8 ones? The first one is self. Notice how all these spiritualistic things come inwards to the person, not outward. Creativity, sex and procreation. Group, society and community. Species, survival. Life forms in general. Matter, energy, space and time. Spirit and infinity or supreme being. So the horizontal bar does not, the cross does not represent Jesus Christ. And that should tell you immediately that there's something wrong. But the horizontal bar represents the material universe, and a vertical bar represents the spirit. So therefore, if you look at it, if the horizontal is the material universe, the spirit is rising above the material world. And therefore, the universe is able to achieve salvation through this so-called spirit. The displaying of the cross came into being in 1969, following a hostile press in the United Kingdom and elsewhere, when Scientologists stated as a legitimate religion was being questioned. So they tried to look Christian. There's quite a lot of problems with Scientology at the moment, in the fact that if you're not a famous person, they're taking your money away from you and giving you nothing in return. People are being at all their home and their money all taken away from them by this religion, and it's been sued all over the place at this present moment. They're not very big in this country, happily. Pentecostal. We have one just down there at this present moment. Ezra tells me in Tamil. So Ezra could have translated, but he wouldn't. There's the man who introduced it, Charles Parham. December 31st, 1900, at Bethel College in Topeka, in Kansas. And the name of the church over here is Bethel, which is strange. And when he laid his hands on some students, they began to speak in a form of speech that was not recognised by anyone. And then this next person, her name is Agnes Osman. She was one of these young students. And 6 years later, after this experience, in 1906, she and several other students who received this speaking in tongues experience moved to Los Angeles and held meetings which started the first Pentecostal, they called it an effusion rather than church. Now, a few facts about this movement. They have 500 million adherents, 700 denominations. It crosses every church, except the Adventist Church, of course, although it has been tried. When I was in St. Albans, we had a tremendous problem keeping the Pentecostals out of St. Albans Church. Tremendous problem. Lost a few members as well. There is no central authority governing them. And Some denominations belong to what is known as the Pentecostal World Fellowship. They have this idea of baptism of the Spirit. You know when you've been saved because you are being baptized by the Spirit. So those of us who have not been baptized by the Spirit and speak in tongues are not saved. So it's not only Christians who speak in tongues. These lot are all speaking in tongues at the present moment here. Tongues were used by people possessed by demon spirits. Voodoo practitioners speak in tongues. Buddhists and Shinto priests speak in tongues. Muslims also have been heard to speak in tongues. And an ancient tradition reports that even Muhammad himself spoke in tongues. So, according to his own account, this is Muhammad, after his ecstatic experience, he found it difficult to return to normal, logical speaking. And the other thing that makes you understand that this is not genuine is the fact that a lot of people use drugs to induce this ecstatic state of speaking in tongues. So, not of God, because it crosses not only Christian religions, but all forms of religion. If speaking in tongues was of the Holy Spirit, why is he manifesting the same gift through different religions? Why would, if the Holy Spirit, as we are told by the Pentecostals, is the cause of speaking in tongues, why is he giving it to the Buddhists, the Muslims, Hindus, or Voodoos? Doesn't make sense when you begin to think it. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. Now you don't understand truth unless you understand what's being said to you. So, and speaking in tongues in Scripture is always initiated by God and not by the person. And the gift is always given for a purpose, and the purpose is soul winning. And thousands of people were saved at Pentecost because they spoke the language of the people who heard them. There is no place in the Bible where a Christian decides to speak in tongues. Nowhere. You will not find it. In Scripture, men did not initiate the gift. God did. Now this is the Toronto blessing. It's supposed to be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on people. Started at Toronto Airport, that's why it's called the Toronto Blessing. And the Christian Fellowship Church, formerly the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church, is where it first began. On January the 20th, 1994, a Pentecostal pastor named Randy Clark spoke at the church and gave his testimony of how he would get drunk in the Spirit and laugh uncontrollably. And in response to this testimony, the congregation erupted into pandemonium, with people laughing, growling, dancing, shaking, barking like dogs, and even being stuck in positions, paralysed. These experiences were attributed, believe it or not, to the Holy Spirit entering these people's bodies. And the pastor of the church, John Arnott, referred to it as a big Holy Spirit party. And the name Toronto Blessing was given, and the church was soon international. Christian Science. This one's not so prominent now to what it is. We're coming soon to the end. This has a different God, a different Jesus, a different authority, a different gospel, and a different salvation. The adherents believe that reality is purely spiritual, and that the material world in which we live in is just an illusion. So you're not all really here, all right? I'm talking to an empty room, because I can't see you anymore, because you were an illusion a few months ago. They also believe that disease is a mental error rather than a physical disorder. And that the sick should be treated not by medicine, but by a form of prayer that seeks to correct the beliefs responsible for the illusion of this ill health. So you're thinking yourself ill. And all you've got to do is get your mind back to where it should be, and you're going to be cured. But the church doesn't say they can't use dentists, or chiropractists, or opticians. You can use those. And vaccination is, the law says you've got to have your, be vaccinated, the children are vaccinated, or you'll be vaccinated when you go abroad, then you can still do that. But it's not talking about that type of medicine. Between the 1880s and 1990s, the avoidance of medical treatment led to the death of several members and their children. Parents and others have been prosecuted in this religion some people have been convicted of manslaughter or neglect because their children have died. The person who invented this religion was Mary Baker Eddy. And she supposedly discovered Christian Science in 1866 after she slipped on a patch of ice and was severely injured. She was expected to die, but turned to the Bible to be healed. And she was healed. Eddy claimed that she was revived from her near-death state, and then she went on a 3-year journey to receive the fundamentals of Christian Science from God. So Christian Science, she got it directly from God, is what she's saying. She argued in her book, which is called Science and Health, written in 1875, that sickness is an illusion that can be corrected by prayer alone. The book then became a Christian Science central text, along with the King James's Bible, believe it or not. And by 2001, her book had sold over 9 million copies. Eddy described Christian Science as a return to primitive Christianity and its lost element of healing. She died in 1910, a millionaire. Strange. Followers evolved to become one with God. Notice how in almost all these spiritualistic things, you become God. Every Christian Science service begins with these words. Man is incapable of sin, sickness and death. According to Science and Health, God or good never made man capable of sin. So by overcoming the illusion of disease and evil, you can become restored to full health. And they don't have heaven or hell, they have a higher plane of existence. Once the followers realise that bad things happening are not real, but an illusion, he or she can become perfect and sinless. Same lie that Satan gave Eve. And death and sickness are probably the cause of the most significant drop in the numbers of this group. Because they don't seek to be healed by using medicines, they die. And their numbers are now beginning to drop. But this is what they believe. God cannot indwell a person. The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. God is mind, whatever that means. God is the father and mother. Isn't it strange how a lot of these religions begin to change the sex of God? Belief in the tradition, doctrine of the Trinity is polytheism. Jesus was not the Christ. Notice that's the same in all of them. The Christ is Lucifer. Jesus did not reflect the fullness of God. Jesus did not die. The Holy Spirit is divine science. There is no devil. So therefore, there is no sin. Evil and good are not real. Matter, sin and sickness are not real, but only illusions. The sacrifice of Jesus was not sufficient to cleanse from sin. True healings are the result of true belief. Now the numbers, as I said, of this particular spiritualistic group are beginning to drop. But Ellen White is as something to say. There are many who shrink with horror from the thought of consulting spirit mediums, but who are attracted by more pleasing forms of spiritualism, such as the Emmanuel movement. Still others are led astray by the teachings of Christian Science and by the mysticism of Theosophy and other Oriental religions. The apostles of nearly all forms of spiritualism claim to have the power to cure disease. They attribute their power to electricity, magnetism. And so the so-called sympathy remedies, or to latent forces within the mind of man. There are not a few, even in this Christian age, who go to these healers instead of trusting in the power of the living God and the skill of a well-qualified physician. That's in evangelism. And this is another statement from her in Testimonies. The prayer of faith is the great strength of the Christian and will be assuredly prevail against Satan. This is why he insinuates that we have no need of prayer. The name of Jesus, our advocate, he detests. And when we earnestly come to him for help, Satan's host is alarmed. It serves his purpose well if we neglect the exercise of prayer, for then his lying wonders are more readily received. And another one which says, we must examine well the foundations of our hope, for we will soon have to give reason for it from the scriptures. This delusion will spread, and we shall have to contend with it face to face, and unless we are prepared for it, we shall be ensnared and overcome. But if we do what we can on our part to be ready for the conflict that is just before us, God will do his part, and his all-powerful arm will protect us. He will soon send every angel out of glory to the relief of faithful souls to make a hedge around them, than have them deceived and led away by the lying wonders of Satan. And then in Scripture we have Psalm 119 verse 11. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. And then in Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is our protection, is the Scriptures. Do they obey the Scriptures? And that is the one thing we must do. Study, study, study. And in Ephesians it says, put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done everything to stand, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I pray, Lord, that each one of us will now be inspired to study our scriptures much more, so that we are protected. These are only the ones we have with us at the moment. There are more to come, and we need to be able to recognise them for what they are when they come. I pray that each one of us may be spared in God's mercy, in his name. Amen.
I think one of the things, there's this organization called themselves Children of God.